All right, morning. Thank you very much. Okay. Today's daf is Chaf Gimel in Bechoros. We're already well into today's daf. We're at the two dots. Let's review. And then we'll continue with the daf. Really, today's daf is just a hemshech. It's a continuation from yesterday's daf. If you don't know yesterday's daf, you'll be lost in today's daf. Even if you know yesterday's daf, there's still a chance. But let's at least give ourselves a chance. Okay, yesterday's daf. I'm all the way back on Chav Beis Amud Aleph. Started with a halacha. I'm not reading. I'll just summarize. It started with a halacha quoted by Reish Lakish in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, I think, is the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, I believe. The Reish Lakish's halacha goes like this: what if you buy tzir from an Amah Aretz? Remember tzir? That was the good stuff. They salted fish and the juice came out of the fish and they mixed it together with water. And they mixed it with water and that's it. And now you have brine. And that was, they dipped their bread in it and they put it into their soups and it was delicious. Okay. I guess. So you have the fish brine and the water mixed together and it was sold to you by an Amah Aretz. Now, generally speaking, Amah Aretz are not careful about Tumah Tahara, and so therefore you have to assume that anything they handle is tummy. Okay. Now the recipe I already gave for the fish brine is made up of tzir, of actual juice, fish juice, and water. Fish juice is zeh ba'alma. Okay. That's nothing. It's the sweat literally of the fish. It's just some sort of something that exudes from the fish, but it's not. Meaning it's not the fish. It's not. It's zeh ba'alma, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma. It's just simply not susceptible to tuma. What about water? Water, of course, is susceptible to tuma. So you have a mixture of the two. So, is it, and the Amah Aretz handled it. So, is it tame? So the water is going to become tame. Okay. So, the Gemara says, look, what's the ratio over here of tzir to water? So later on this morning, we're going to learn the ratio is usually 1:1. You have 50% fish brine, 50% water. So, you know, you're somewhere in the middle. If the majority of it is actual tzir, is actual fish brine, you're fine. Meaning because the fish brine is not mekabel tuma, and it's true that the water did become tamei, but it's a miut, it's a minority. So there's what's called bittul. What if the water constitutes the majority? So then you have an issue. But the Gemara says, not a problem, because you'll do hashaka. And hashaka, as we discussed yesterday, is when I take the fish brine and I dunk in a mikvah. I explained yesterday how we're going to do that. You'll dunk in the mikvah, and hashaka now will make the water tahor. And so therefore, problem solved. Okay, and that's what the Gemara said yesterday. It's what's called, the Gemara calls mimanavshach. Meaning either way, if the fish brine is a majority, you're fine. And if the water is a majority, well, you did hashaka and you're good to go. Right. It would be better, correct. I was thinking this as well. It'd be better for you if the water was a majority, because then the hashaka would actually be a matar of the water. If the water is a minority, then the hashaka doesn't work for the water, and it's just batal. Yeah. Okay, good. That was the halacha of Reish Lakish, but it goes even one step further, however. And that is the following, is that let's assume the water was a minority. Okay. The water becomes batal, but the water still tame. I chewed on that for a while. I want you, Aaron. Yes. And I've chewed on this for a while. In other words, I could have made the argument. I would have made the argument that once you do hashaka, even though the word is a minority, it becomes tahor.
If it could be chaser in New York, then hashaka should work. If it can't be chaser,
okay.
Then
so the reality is the Gemara's assumption going forward is that if the water is a minority, hashaka will not work. I don't fully understand why not, meaning I'm with you. I would have said that hashaka works even if it were the minority. I've chewed on it for a while. I don't have I can't explain well how come hashaka does not work if it's a minority, if the water is a minority. Okay, but we have to go forward, and that's what the Gemara is assuming. Good. So the Gemara says, but, this is still Reish Lakish, but here's what you have to be careful about. You can't take the tzir and put it into a soup. You can't do that. Why? Because what's going to happen now is the water contained in the tzir is still tamei, even though it's batal. It's still tamei. It's going to mix in with other water. Matzah min esmino v'ne'or. So one, the water is going to find its water. They're going to get together. They're going to synthesize. And now what's going to happen is you have a preponderance and abundance of tameh water. Because the tameh water is going to come into contact with the tara water. Tara water is obviously going to become tameh, matzah min as mino. And you're going to reawaken it. And this is the halacha of Reish Lakish. Okay. Yeah, so maybe, right, maybe the tzir is going to prevent, you know, right.
Something along, concealed inside the majority.
You have to say something along those lines.
Yeah.
Right. Although, but, right, but it's not really balua.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not color.
So
we can understand how.
Okay. Fine. Done and done. Okay, so the Rav Dimi was himself bothered by this halacha. Really, a matzah min is min of a neyor. So Abaye says, I'm sorry, Abaye was bothered by this. Sorry, Abaye says v'chi tuma shebala chazar v'neura. You're mevatel tuma. The tuma went away. What are you talking about? And the Gemara says, and I'll give you another case where we find exactly this principle. And the Gemara takes us to a Mishnah in Trumos. And the Mishnah there describes, I have one sa'ah of Truma Tamea get mixed in with 100 of Chulin, which means that there was Bittel. In the world of Truma, your numbers of Bittel are 1 to 100. And that's exactly what happened. You had one sa'ah of Truma Tamea get mixed in with 100 Chulin. So there is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who's Machmer, and he says that you have to take out one sa'ah. And it's a chumrah, whatever you want to call it. But okay, that's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Don't focus on that because that's not the main point of this Mishnah, of bringing this Mishnah in. The Chachamim say, look, it's bittul, but don't mix it with water. Don't cook it in a pot with water. All you can do is just roast it. Eat a little bit of it at a time. Don't eat a full kibetza of it. Meaning the Chachamim say, but you know the tumah is still there, and you don't want to mess with the tumah. Let's say you get it wet. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen now is that once you get the whole mixture wet, so now everything else is mukshel kabel tumah. So now the tumah is going to transfer from that one saw that fell in to everything else. So the Chachamim say don't get it wet. Okay, and as the Gemara pointed out, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees as well. And the Gemara says, "Va'amar Ula." And now we're on the top of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. Now I'll start reading again. We did this yesterday, but this is important. This is a critical step of the Gemara. "Va'amar Ula Matam Gzera Shemayavi Kav Chulin Tameim Mimakom Acher." Here's the problem. Imagine you're going to bring in Chulin Tameim, one Kav of Chulin that's Tamei from somewhere else. Vikava od mi means that. And you're going to take a kav plus a little bit more of this mixture, of this 101. And in your mind, you're thinking to yourself, perfect. Meaning, I have kava od, right? One kav plus a little bit more of this mixture. Only one kav of chulin tamein. I mixed it together. And what has been accomplished? Bittel. I've nullified it. And what you're not aware of is that in the original mixture, where you thought everything was tahor, it wasn't. Because one of that 101 is tameh, and it's still there. And so what may happen is that you take a kav of that mixture, that kav of the mixture may contain some tumah. And so now when I take my kava od of the original mixture, and a kav of this mixture, and I mix them together, it may be that there's a little bit of tumah of that kava od, mixed now together with the kav, matzah min esmino v'ne'or. Okay? And so what you see clearly from this Mishnah in Trumos, which with Ula's explanation, is that you have a concept of matzah min esmino. That even though you're a mevatel tumah, the tumah is still there. And therefore, matzah min esmino v'ne'or. So Abaye, upon hearing this, says, look, you're right, but I'm still not going to give in all the way. Because that case in Trumos, when we say matzah min esmino v'ne'or, what were we describing? How I have tumah, get together with tumah, and they're going to, and obviously now you're going to increase the amount of tumah. There we'll say matzah min esmino v'ne'or. In the case of tzir, that's different. Because I have tameh water mixed with tahor water, And there you want to tell me matzah min is min of a ne'or, but it's tumah and tahara. If it's tumah and tumah getting together, I'm with you. If it's tumah and tahara getting together, Abaye says, I'm not with you on that. Okay? And that was Abaye's response. Amar le'im tumah oreres tumah, tahara oreres tumah. I see the cases as being different. Okay, just before we move on, an important point, which Tosfos raises, I mentioned this at the end of yesterday's daf, what's this person doing? Meaning, this person is taking kava'od, kavan a little bit more of his original mixture, which he thinks is all chulin, and he takes a kav of chulin to mayin, and he mixes it together. Why? In order to affect bittul. You can't do that. Right? Ein adam avatal esu lechatchila. A person is not allowed to create bittul. If it happens, meaning the entire discussion of bittul is only after the fact, right? A little bit of milk gets mixed in the pot. Then we can now have a discussion about bittul. But to throw a little bit of milk into the, you can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. So Tosos is bothered by that. Tosos, second Tosos on the Amud, he asked the question straight out. No, I'm sorry, the first one. I'm sorry. So first also. Tema. My yo'il ha'in mevatlin isa l'chatchila, v'afilu shogeg im bitlu eino mevutal, l'man de'amra begitin nafla v'nispatsu, bein b'shogeg ben b'mezid, lo ya'alu. And this rule of ein mevatlin isa l'chatchila, it applies b'mezid, it applies b'shogeg, meaning if you try to affect bitl, it's not going to work. So what's going on over here in our Gemara? So the Gatosu says, Miwika Lamandamara, Hasan Bashoge Galu. So first of all, going back to the Gemara in Gittin, there is one opinion that says that if you do Bashogeg, what does that mean, Bashogeg? Well, that's going to be part of our discussion right now. Doesn't sound like our guy over here in our Gemara is doing it Bashogeg. He's actually trying to create it. So stay tuned for just a moment. But there is one opinion in the Gemara in Gittin that says Bashogeg, it's okay. Vishamahachash of Shogeg, Kisha Sabashamutalavatel. And what is falling under the category of shogeg? Under the category of shogeg is, I thought it was okay. Right? You shogeg, shogeg is a broad category. I was just discussing this yesterday with somebody. Shogeg is an extraordinarily broad category. It doesn't mean I tripped. Shogeg means that it was a certain lack of awareness, a certain lack of understanding. I knew what I was doing, but I didn't fully understand the consequences of what I was going to do. Right? Shogeg applies in Shabbos, shogeg by murder. Like, in other words, shogeg by Nezik, and shogeg is a very broad category. So Tosa says that perhaps over here, our definition of shogeg is going to be, he knew exactly what he was doing. He knew this was Tameh, he knew this was Tahor, he knew he was mixing the two, he was hoping there'd be more Tahor than Tuma. He knew all that, he just didn't know it was also to be Mevatel Lechatchila. That's what he didn't know. And we could fit that, we could put that under the category of shogeg. And if that's true, so Tosa says, so I have at least a foothold of how to understand our Gemara. Okay. It's an important aside, but that's just an aside to the discussion of our Gemara. All right. That's it. What do we see, according to Abaye? See, it seems like according to everybody, we have this concept that even when I'm a vatal tumah, meaning I have more tahor than tumah, the tumah is still there. Latent and still there. You would have said that once you affect bittul, it's it. It's over. It's done. It's no longer tumah. What we're saying now is no. When you're mevatel, meaning you could proceed forward as if it's not there, but it's still there. Consequence, nafkamina, would be what if I add more tumah? Choser v'neir. Matzah minu minu v'choser v'neir. And as we pointed out, even though Abaye made a distinction, but his distinction was only between this case and the case of the tzir. Because in that case, I'm mixing together water which is tamei with water which is tahor. I'm not buying into the choser v'neir over there. But in a regular case of choser v'neir, where it's tumah and tumah getting together, so it's reunited, and choser v'neir. Good. So that's our starting point for today's daf. And now, with that starting point, we're going to move forward.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
A long time ago, I think it was Abu Dazar. We had this whole concept that when like one drop of tummy goes into in the bucket of
kama kama bato.
since it's being negated one drop at a time, right?
Right.
Then it doesn't add up.
Yeah.
So what happened to that potential?
Yeah. Yeah, Tosos, I mean, the big one over here, Nevela Batla B'Shechuta, which is coming up later on. So Tosos does discuss this. There's a general discussion. I saw a couple of people talking about it today. There's a general discussion. You know, it's very similar to your question. The rush. We talked about this not that long ago in Chulin. You know, the rush, he says, you know how you view Bittul.
He said it's gone.
Says the Isser is Hapech Leheter. That the Isser turns into Heter. It's done.
No potential, no latency, no
conversion.
Right.
Total conversion. So the big it's a big question. I mean, it's not. I'm not going to be able to answer it. I'll regle achas, right, Aaron? you want to give a stab at this one? But it's a big question. How's the Rosh going to understand our entire Gemara? Meaning, it's not one line of Gemara. It's not a. It's an entire daf of Gemara, which is pretty much the rest of today's daf, as it was yesterday's daf, where the Gemara assumes that even though there's bittul, the tumah is still there. And that's the assumption going forward. And what's the Rosh going to do with the entire Gemara? Okay. I don't have an answer.
But over there, we kind of that concept. You said that since it's one drop at a time, it's being negated, then it doesn't add up.
But the Rosh says that even when it's more than one drop being negated, the Rosh will say it. You go back to your hot dog example, two kosher hot dogs, one non-kosher hot dog, they get mixed together. So the halach is bittul. You've affected bittul, assuming you can't identify which one's which. So you assume bittul. So now the Rosh says, not only is there a bittul, you yourself can eat all three hot dogs. You can eat all three hot dogs at the same time. You can cook all three hot dogs in one pot together and eat it all together. It's not a problem. The Rosh says, Isser Neshapech Leheter. Now, I pointed out many times back then, I'll point it out right now, we don't paskin like the Rosh, meaning we go like the other Rishonim, that says, first of all, the minhag of the Ashkenazim is that we have to throw one of the hot dogs away. That's Rashi. That's Rashi's opinion. The Ramah brings it down. You have to throw one of the hot dogs away. Okay, but even the Shulchan Aruch, who's more makel, but he tells you that one person should not eat all three hot dogs, right? Or one person should eat all three hot dogs, but not at the same time. Meaning, work the statistics, because, you know, Rove only works as a probability. Okay, so part of the probability is, as long as I don't eat all three at the same time, you're good. So that works in beautifully with what we're learning right now. But the Rosh says, Isser Neshapech Leheter, there's a total conversion. So how's the Rosh going to handle our Gemara? So that's a big question, and I'm not sure if I have a prepared answer. Aaron, you're firing.
The Rosh only holds Isser Neshapech Leheter when you're sitting down to eat it, but until you sit down to eat it, it's not Neshapech Leheter yet.
But it's a suggestion, but our Gemara is talking about even when you're prepared to sit down and eat it. You could say that our Gemara is only talking about Tumah Tahara, and maybe the rules of Bittul have changed. It may be, perhaps, but I'm not prepared to say that that's an accurate statement. As you'll see over the course of our Gemara is not necessarily limited to Tumah Tahara, although most of our discussion today will revolve around Tumah Tahara. Let's continue forward in the Gemara. Okay, hopefully I presented the issues clearly. Okay, Esve, A for Kashish Nesar, B for Mikla. Okay, a Mishnah from Para. Para Aduma. Para Aduma is, you burn it, you mix it together with water, you sprinkle on somebody who is Tamei Meis. On day three, on day seven, he's good to go. What about the person who actually does the sprinkling? What about anybody who comes over and touches the ashes of the Para Aduma? He becomes Tamei. Para Aduma is a paradox. It's metame es atahorim or metahir es atameim. Okay, do we understand that? No. Does Shlomo HaMelech understand that? No. We're in good company. So, I had a Rebbe in Yeshiva who said it beautifully. I wish I didn't understand it the way Shlomo HaMelech didn't understand it. Right, why? So, but that's the halacha. The halacha is... the halacha is that that if you touch the Efer Paraduma, you're going to become Tamei. Not only if you touch the Efer Paraduma, if you carry the Efer of the Paraduma, you're going to become Tamei. Efer Paraduma, the ashes of Paraduma, is Metame Bemaga Uvemasa. Okay? The Mishnah in Para deals with the following scenario. What if What if I have a mixture of ashes of paraduma with Efer Mikla? Efer Mikla is just a way of saying other ashes. Okay? So, Holchin Acha Harov Latame. The Mishnah in Parah tells us, follow the majority. If the majority of this mixture is paraduma, is Efer paraduma, what's the result? You'll be Tame. If the majority of this mixture is Efer Mikla, you'll be Tahor. So the Gemara says, now let's now go and review our latency theory. Our latency theory is that even when there's bittul, it's still there. The Efer Paraduma is still there. Now as far as touching, I'll give away some of the Gemara's next lines outside, and then we'll read it inside. As far as touching is concerned, it's not an issue. Because when I touch, what does Rove tell me? Rove tells me that I probably touched Efer Mikla. Right. If this mixture is majority Efer Mikla, minority Efer Paraduma, and I touch it, so the Rov will tell me that I touched Efer Mikla, and you're fine. But what if I carry it? You're going to tell me that I didn't carry the Efer Paraduma? Of course I did. Of course I carried it. I understand it's a minority, but it's there. Latency tells us that it's there. So essentially what the Gemara is going to ask is, I understand how you're not going to be telling me if you touch it. But what if you carry it? The Gemara proceeds to ask. E ruba efer mikla hu lo matame. V'i amar tuma kemandi isa dame. If tuma is still there, even when it's mevutal, nehi de mamagla matame latame b'masa. But it should still go off tuma's masa. So the Gemara says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to turn a question into an answer. It's such a great move. Right, someone asks you a question, it's a really good question. So just simply restate the question instead of a question mark, put a period right at the end. It's a move. And the Gemara says, Ha in Marlah, Merav Yosi Rabbi Chanina, Tarmala Tame Bamaga Matame Bamasa. Correct, meaning if you touch it, it won't be Tame, but if you carry it, you'll be Tame.
You know what? This is in a way like analogous to the concept of the hot dogs, in that If you ate all the hot dog, it's as though you're carrying it all.
Yeah.
But if you're eating one at a time, you're touching a part of it.
Absolutely correct. In other words, I told you, all the other Rishonim are going to be very comfortable with this line of thinking. It's the Rush who's going to have issues with all this. Hamrev Chisa. Look, we accept La Halacha.
Yeah, accept.
We accept La Halacha. What's the Rush going to do with all this? I don't know. But in other words, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, right, the most of the Rishonim, the Rashba, the Tosfos, we all accept it as a basic premise.
The milk can seem that milk falls into the meat. We're still having there.
It's the milk is still there.
It's still there.
But there's bittul. Yeah. Right. Amar Rav Chista, assuming there's bittul. Amar Rav Chista, nevela betel b'shchuta, she'iya shel nevela she'tiyas she'shchuta. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav Chista. Right, Stuart, you're learning Beitza now, aren't you?
Yes.
No, you're still some ways. So this is right towards the end. Well, Beitza goes up to Mem. Yeah. So, okay. So, Amra Chista Nevela Batel B'Shchuta Shiyah Shal Nevela Shete'ase Shchuta. So, the Gemara says they have Nevela and Shchuta get mixed up together. So, the Nevela can't become Shchuta. Okay. Which, don't get too caught up in all this. Right? Rashi just... All this is just to establish that there are two different minim, right? Because if one can turn into the other, so that may be a case of min b'mino, but shchuta, nevela can never become shchuta, meaning that Rashi...
You could lose his tamei, though.
Right, the Rashi would like to switch around the language of the Gemara. Right? Rashi says, "I efshar l'shchuta sh'teyas nevela." Something shechta can't become nevela, meaning that shchuta is not tamei. Nevela is Tamei. Shchuta will never become Tamei. Never become an Avatoma. Let's put it that way. So it just simply means it's min b'sheino mino. Okay? And even though in our Gemara we have it as Nevela Shetayas Shchuta, Rashi says that's Shebeshta. It's not the right gears in the Gemara. Anyway. Nehi de b'magala matame. But again, let's now work with our latency theory. Right? Look, you have Shchuta and Nevela get mixed together. Nevela is Tamei. It's an Avatoma. Shchuta is not. I have a majority of shchuta here. So when I touch it, you'll be fine because you probably touch shchuta. But what if you carry it? Again, same issue. What if you carry it? And yes, it's true, the minority of it is nevela. But you carried it, and you know you carried it, and especially if you work with your latency theory. So, Amalei Asam b'drav chista mas nisan lan, ana b'drav chiyam mas nisan lan. Look, you were taught this over by Rav Chista. I was taught this halacha by Rabbi Chiya, and Rabbi Chiya added an important clause. Anam b'derav Chiya mas nisan lan tini Rabbi Chiya nevel v'shchuta b'tel zubazu v'in malam Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina tahor melatame b'maga aval metame b'masa. Same conclusion. If you're working with latency theory, so that basically tells you that even though the nevela is batel, but it's there. If I touch it, I'm not going to become tummy because I probably touched shchuta. But if I carry it, I know for a fact I carried nevela. I'm going to become tummy. Period. End of that discussion. Okay. End of. We're still operating with latency theory, and we have defended, not just defended it. The Gemara has concluded that's true by the case of the Afer, the ashes of the Paradum and the Afer Mikla mixed together. It's true by shchuta nevela game mixed together. That even though the Tameh is there, and even though it's Mevutal, it's still there. The Hadid Nan Rebbe Lazar ben Yaakov Amar Behem Agasa Sheshafa Chareras Dam Harizati Kaver Veniftara Min Bechora. And why do we discussing all this? And my question goes back all the way to Chav Beis Amad Aleph. I mean, it's a great discussion. It's a great discussion on the Gemara. What's it doing here in Becharos? So the Gemara, now we know. Because we're quoting now our Mishnah. The Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah of Elazar ben Yaakov. The Mishnah says that if an animal, a large animal, has chararas dam, she discharges, she aborts what looks like a cake of blood, so you bury it, and it's petura. In other words, you have to assume that you can assume that was her first child, unfortunately, Rachman Litzlan, and from going forward, everything else will be a pshuta. Now, that's the Mishnah. And now Rabbi Chiya taught us regarding that Mishnah. We already saw Rabbi Chiya. We saw on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara is reviewing. According to Rabbi Chiya, so the Gemara says, let's think about this for just a moment. If you're operating with latency theory, so now you have an issue. I understand that most of this composite, right, this cake of blood, most of it's just blood. Blood doesn't give off tuma. But tetame b'masa, but there is remains of aborted fetus here. So if I touch it, I understand rov, probably touched blood and not fetus. But if I carry it, am I not carrying aborted fetus? Let's turn that into an answer. I am carrying aborted fetus, but the result should be that you're tame. And the problem is, Rabbi Chiya says, "Eino matame lo bemaga velo bemasa." He says you're not tame, neither in touching nor in carrying. So ishtik. That's a good question. That's a good question, and you know, didn't have an answer. Dilma shani hacha dahavile tumas srucha. So the Gemara now provides for us a good answer. The Gemara says, "Well, maybe this is tumas srucha. Once something spoils and decays, it no longer gives tumma, it gives off tumma." This is a discussion, obviously, only about food, limited to food. Once something spoils and decays, it no longer gives off tumma. Maybe we'll assume that this aborted fetus is tumma srucha. Now, hanicha lebar pada dama tumas chamura ad lager v'tumma kala ad lekelev halachazi lager. Now, there is a debate. It should sound familiar. We did this somewhere in the middle of Masechta Chulin, where there's a discussion of what's the threshold. Meaning, if it's food, it gives off tuma, assuming that it's, you know, an avela, or it becomes tame. If it spoils, so it no longer gives off tuma. There's a discussion in the Gemara in Chulin of where exactly is the threshold of where it's no longer edible. So there's two opinions in the Gemara. There's Barpada and there's Rav Yochanan. Barpada says that for Tuma Chamura, meaning Tuma Chamura just simply means Avatuma. It's a source of Tuma, like Nevela, like what we're discussing right now. So for Tuma Chamura, the threshold is a very low threshold, meaning as long as no human can eat it, that's it. We're done discussing Tuma. There is no more Tuma there anymore. So if that's your threshold, so then we understand our Mishnah. Or I should say better, we understand Rabbi Chiya's comment on our Mishnah. who says that there's no tumas maga, no tumas masa, because it's an aborted fetus mixed together with blood, and no human would eat it.
But the thing is that we don't know this. Is it considered putrid, right? Putrid right away that nobody would eat it.
Okay, so stay tuned because the Gemara is going to raise your issue. But the Gemara is assuming if you're working with the barpada threshold, so then you understand. The armor to machamur alagir to makal alakal halo chazi alagir. So good. So at this point in time, a person will not eat it. Good. El Rav Yochanan, the Amar, achas zuv achas zu ad lekelev. But according to Rav Yochanan, who says achas zuv achas zu ad lekelev, the threshold goes down. The threshold is when it's no longer consumable by a dog. So now the dog, I know this doesn't say, it's not a good visual, but the dog would have no problem going over there and this cake of blood and aborted fetus. So for the dog, that's dinner. So achazev achazev alakelev, achazev alakelev. So over here it's chazev alakelev, which means that still now in the world of Tama, and now we're going to get stuck. Because if you operate with latency theory, that the Tama is still there even though it's mevotel. So that means now that you have the aborted fetus, even if it represents a minority, the tumah is still there. So I understand how you're not going to become tummy if you touch it, but you should become tummy if you carry it. And the Gemara's response is kasha. You're right, that's going to be difficult. If you operate with Rav Yochanan's threshold, which is a really low threshold, where it's still going to give off tumah as long as the dog can eat it, so it's still going to give off tumah, and we then don't understand Rabbi Chiya's comment to the Mishnah, and the Gemara says that there we hit the end of the road on the discussion. Kasha. Okay, good. Where are we? Let's before we finish up today's daf, let's quickly summarize. Latency theory is pretty much defended throughout the entire sugya, meaning Mishnah and Para. I should start really with a Mishnah and Trumas, right? We really toured Chas today. A Mishnah and Trumos that says that you have the Sa'ah of Truma Temea that gets mixed in with 100 Chulin, and you have to assume that even though there's Bittol, the Truma Temea is still there. You can't, you have to roast it, you can't add it with you can't throw it into a liquid, etc., etc. The Mishnah and Para, same story. I have Afer Mikla get mixed up with Afer Para Aduma. So if I touch, and the majority of it is Afer Mikla, I touch it, I won't become tummy, but if I carry it, I will become tummy. Same story. It's latent, it's there. And if I carry it, I know I carried it for sure, so therefore I'm going to become tummy. And finally, not finally, statement of Rav Chista regarding Nevela and Shchuta get mixed up together. If I and there's more Shchuta than there is Nevela, I touch it, I'm not going to become tummy. But if I carry it, I'm going to become tummy. Same story over there. And our Mishnah and Bechoros, all right, that's going to be a little bit of an issue. A little bit of an issue. Not if you go like Bar Padda. If you go like Bar Padda, so then you're fine. But if you go like Rabbi Yochanan, so then you're going to get caught on that last point. But basically, same story. I have a discharge.
Why wouldn't you, but Rabbi Yochanan, an issue with the Paraduma also, the actual Paraduma? Because he's saying it should be both, even if it's minority.
What does that mean? It should be both.
He's saying that there's too much maga and masa for both. He says that they go together, right?
He says that the threshold is the both, but that doesn't affect ashes. I mean, that threshold is only for food, not for ashes.
But Rabbi Yochanan said that you could split it. You could have half and half in that case.
No, Rabbi Yochanan. There are two separate issues. Meaning, the issue of kelev and ger is an issue of at what point does it still give off tumah. The issue of ashes, it's ashes. It's always going to give off tumah. The ashes of the paraduma will always give off tumah.
The thing is that it doesn't give tumah by touching it. It gives tumah by carrying.
Correct, because it's there, because of latency.
But Rabbi Yochanan doesn't say that he cannot split. He can have a...
No, I mean, in other words, that wouldn't affect... The discussion of Rabbi Yochanan and Bar Padda wouldn't affect the Afer discussion at all. Okay, and so that's... okay, so throughout the entire Gemara... I mean, that really covers Chav Beis Amid Aleph, Chav Beis Amid Beis, Gimel Amid Aleph. And basically the Gemara supports this theory of the Tumah is there. It just, even though it's the minority, it's still there, and you have to regard it. You can't just simply say, it's no longer tame, it's still there. And that would lead us to the beginning of today's daf, which is chozer v'neir. That if he meets up with other tama, so they get reunited, and you can then have an issue of having more tama. Okay. We talked, the Gemara likes doing this. In other words, we touched on the machlokas between Bar Pan and Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara looks at it as an opportunity to just go over this machlokas. What is the threshold? If I have food which is tamei, and it no longer is edible, it starts putrefying, it becomes disgusting. So at what point now does it lose its status of food, i.e. at what point does it lose its status of tamei? So, gufa bar pa damer tuma chamor ad lagir v'tuma kala ad lakelev. Rav Yochanan amar achetzu v'achetzu ad lakelev. So Rav Yochanan says it doesn't matter if we're talking about a source of tuma or something that becomes tame. The threshold is always going to be ad lakelev. My time at the bar pada, what's the reason behind bar pada? Dechtiv lo sochlu kol nevela. Don't eat nevela lagir. What do you do? Give it to your gair. Right, obviously we're not talking about a ger tzedek, we're not talking about a full convert. He can't eat the nevela. We're talking about a ger toshav. La ger tenenu, I believe. I think tenena. Give it to him. Yeah, it's the dog, right, la kelev tashlichon. Yeah. You're correct.
So you throw it to the dog and you give it to
Correct. So... So you give it to the ger. So it's a simple drasha. It's a good drasha. Haruy la ger kuriya nevela. V'sheinu ruy la ger ain't a kuriya la nevela. So if you could give it to the ger, meaning i.e. he's going to eat it, it has the status of nevela. Once he can't eat it anymore, it's no longer nevela. The idach now turn to Rav Yochanan, whose threshold is much lower. Rav Yochanan says ad lekelev ulemuute hecha desricha miikara. No. That's only if it was rotted from the beginning. Now we get to your point, Ben. Where it was, even before it becomes a nevela, it was rotted. Well, how did that happen? I'm talking about an animal. How did it rot before it turned into a nevela? It was rotted while it was alive? So Rashi says, yeah, that's pretty much what happened. Kigon, take a look at the Rashi, fourth line down. Shenishtabru evareha mechayim. Vihitlia, one of the limbs broke and it just wasn't.
Gangrene.
Yeah, gangrene. Thank you. So hayav agav dechazel akev lo matame b'masa dahame olam lo yarda l'tumas masa. There, it just when this animal becomes a nevela, that's only on the parts edible. This limb, which is now putrefied and disgusting, even while the animal was alive, it's not. Nothing. Dahame olam lo yarda l'tumah masa. Aval imi karachazel ager v'nachta l'tumah masa sulo salak mina ad shitipasal mikela. But once it gets tumah, meaning it was edible when the animal turned into a nevela. So now once it becomes tumah, the tumah is not gonna let go until it's totally disqualified from eating from achilas kelev. Back to the Gemara v'idach. Now what about Bar Pada? What is he gonna do with that point? You need a pasuk. Meaning if you have a limb that's gangrene, that's totally just not edible, I need the Torah to tell me that once the animal dies, that limb doesn't give off tumah. It's nothing. It doesn't even need a pasuk in the Torah to tell me that it's not tameh. It's not food. It's what the Gemara refers to as afra ba'alma. Okay? Tanan. Good, and that's the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Bar Pada. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer behemagasa sheshafa chara v'zdam hariz etikivar v'niftara minabachara utini Rabbi Chiya nimetam lo b'magav lo b'masa. Okay, opportunity now one more time to review our Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if there was a discharge from a large animal, it comes out a cake of blood, and it's a composite of basically blood and aborted fetus. So we said it doesn't give off tumah, it doesn't give off tumas maga, it doesn't give off tumas masa. Okay, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Bittel Barov Naguba. Why not? Because the majority of this composite is blood, and the minority of it is aborted fetus, so therefore it doesn't give off tumah. Good. My Irya Mishum Bittel Barov. Gemara has a simple question. Why is Bittel Barov becoming an operating principle over here? We don't even need it. We don't need Bittel Barov. Typically, the lowest chaziklo. Who's eating it? Meaning it's Eno Chazoy. So the Gemara says, you're right. Now it's not. But at one point in time, it was chazeh, meaning while inside, it was a fetus. So in other words, like we saw in Rashi just a couple of moments ago, meaning tumah did take hold of it. Okay, it's interesting. It comes out clear from this Gemara that the fetus that died inside of its mother already gives off tumas nevela, and it's just now an issue of. Obviously, it's inside the mother. It's called what's called tumah blua. Once it comes out, it's still tummy. Okay, tenan hasam. Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov omer tzir tal shenafel asoch hamayim kol shehu tummy. So Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov says that if you have tzir tahor and a little bit of water falls into it, what? Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravu, Azos Ameres Nechshedu Amar Arutzla Arev Mechsa Betzir, Mechsa Betzir. So must be that when the Amar Arutz mixes up his tzir and water combination, the ratio is Mechsa 50-50. Malamali Mechsa Afilu Batzim Mechsa Nami. V'hani Mashu Havale Palga Upalga Lo Batil. So the Gemara has a very technical question. The Gemara says, look, it doesn't even have to be 50-50. Meaning, even if it's, let's say, 49-51, 49% water, 51% sear. But if you're adding a little bit of water to it, so now you've balanced the ratio. The water, remember, was touched by an amaretz, which means that the water now is tameh. And so you get to a problem. Ema ad mechsa. So the Gemara says, okay, so what we'll do is we'll just simply, we'll change. We won't say mechza, we'll say ad mechza. Meaning that, you're right, their mixture is not necessarily 50-50. Their mixture may be 49-51, but the point still being, once you add a little bit of water, so now you've balanced it.
Once you've gone 50-50, you've lost your majority.
Yeah, that's exactly the point. Right. So, ibai zema tuma amaretz derabanan. Tumas mashkin derabanan. The Gemara says, you can attack this from a different perspective. The fact that we assume an amaretz touches something, it becomes tameh. That's the din derabanan, right? They're not careful about tumah tahara, and so therefore we assume it's an automatic default that they touch anything, it's going to become tameh. That's the din derabanan. Now, in addition to that, mashkin liquids becoming tameh. That's also a din derabanan, meaning that let's say your hands are a sheni. I know we're getting a little into tumah tahara talk. But your hands are shiny and touches a liquid. You know what happens to that liquid? The liquid jumps up to being a rishon. That's what's called tumas mashkin. Okay? One of the yud ches davar, one of the 18 things that was debated between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and the halacha follows like Beis Shammai. So, but that's also a din derabanan. So you see what you're looking at over here? You're looking at the fact that an amaretz touches something and becomes tamei, that's a din derabanan. You're looking at liquid becoming tamei, that's also a din derabanan. So beruba gazrabanan bepago pago lo gazrababa rabanan. So look, if the majority of it is water, so then we can have a discussion. But if you're at 50-50, 50 of it being steer and 50 of it being water, and now you want to tell me that the whole thing now is going to become tameh, but I mean the whole discussion starts with first of all the amaretz touches it, which is only a din derabanan. Secondly, it's a liquid, that's also only a din derabanan. So already you're layering one derabanan on top of another derabanan, and then to add to that even at a 50-50 ratio, we're going to have an issue? The Gemara says that's already too far to extend all these gzeiras derabanan. Okay. Next Mishnah, let's begin. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Alokech behema meinika mina ove kochavim, ein choshesh shemash bena shel acheres hayam. Okay. You buy an animal from a non-Jew. Okay, continuing from where we left off in the beginning of the perek, right? Purchasing an animal from a non-Jew, but here you have really good evidence that this animal gave birth. What's your good evidence? It's got a baby. And not only does it have a baby, the baby's nursing from this mother. That's a lot of good evidence, but it's still circumstantial, meaning it could be that this mother is serving as a wet nurse for somebody else's animal. Could be. The Mishnah says it could be, but don't worry about that. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that does not need to be your concern. If you buy an animal from a non-Jew, and not only is it lactating, but it's actually nursing an animal right next to it, So now you can safely assume that's the child of this mother, and so therefore this mother already was Bechra. She already gave birth once. Any animal that she has after that is a Pshuta, or a Pasha. Good. That's halacha number one in the Mishnah. Next halacha, which is...
When he played this concept, when he had the whole issue of two donkeys having three babies and he couldn't reach one or something, why nerd, why didn't apply that?
Yeah, right. Ostensibly, you could. Right. I learned from my earlier daf today that you just take the question and turn it into an answer, and you're good to go. It sounds sensible. Nichnas l'soch edro, v'ra es amavkiros menikos v'she'ena amavkiros menikos. You go into your flock in the morning. And lo and behold, the mafkiros are menikos, and the she'ino mafkiros are menikos. Everyone's nursing a newborn animal. Okay, so it was a good day for you. So ein choshen shem b'nashozu ba'lo etzozu o shem b'nashozu ba'lo etzozu. Again, it's the same basic idea. If you see an animal nursing a baby, you assume it's not a baby. You assume it's its baby, and so therefore, once you see it nursing a baby, you assume it's baby, and therefore, mazel tov. This baby belongs to this animal, and obviously, you can't say, you know, oh, it looks just like its mother. I know. I'm with you on that. Every time, you have a newborn, oh, it looks just. But okay, so that's the good. It's the same basic idea, right? We remember not that long ago. I'll give you exactly when. Chaf Amud Beis, right? We had a discussion of what if the animal's lactating? But there, the only thing that we had going for us is that it was lactating. It wasn't actually nursing a baby. You just see that it's expressing milk. There, what was the, remember the conclusion? It's, that's not enough information. Okay? Here, it's different. Here, it's actually nursing an animal, a baby. So now you can safely assume always, if you buy it from a non-Jew, if you wake up in the morning and you find that all these newborns are nursing, you can always assume that it's nursing its own baby. Good. Am Rav Nachman Mishmei Derav, Hilchasa Bekula Pirkin, Bar Miplokta. We are almost finished with the third parak. We have one more Mishnah to go. Mishnah is coming up in tomorrow's daf for Rav Yossi Ben HaMishulam. Okay? No, sorry. Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Hamad Aleph. Seir Bechor. Okay? Good. And that's it? Yeah.
Oh, we're
going to
be finished on
Shabbat? Yeah, let's say that's it. Okay, so we have a series of Mishnayos, starting with, all the way back to Yud Tes Amud Beis, buying an animal from a non-Jew. So Rav makes the following declarative statement about our entire perek. And he says, that's the halacha. Meaning, anytime you find a statement in our Mishnah, you can assume that's the halacha. With exception, anytime there's an actual machlokas in the Mishnah. Meaning the first Mishnah, buying an animal from a non-Jew. So what do you assume within its first year? So that was machlokas between Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva. Okay. So Rav says, okay, not that Mishnah. Leave that Mishnah out of the discussion, because that's a bar plukta. But then, moving right along, Mishnah on the bottom of Chaf Amud Beis, right? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that if a woman gives birth to a cake of blood, so that is, you assume that that's a bechor. Okay? That's a Mishnah without a machlokas. We just learned a Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That's a Mishnah without a machlokas. There's another Mishnah coming up. Rav Yossi ben Meshulam is going to say a halacha over. That's a Mishnah without a machlokas. And then the last Mishnah of Akavya ben Mahalalel. That's a Mishnah with a machlokas. Okay. So, it's funny. It sounds like a big statement, but it only affects a couple of the Mishnahs in our parak. But still, Rav says, right, Rav Nachman Mishmei Derav. You may want to take out the Nachman Mishmei Derav. Right, Rav Nachman. I don't. He wasn't a Talmud of Rav.
Sure.
Right. So, Okay, so maybe it's just a statement made by Rav. Anyway, Hilchasa b'kula pirkin bar miplukta. Anytime you have a statement of a Mishnah in our third parak of Chulin, of Becharos, that's the halacha, with exception to when there's an actual machlok. So I'm Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes says, Amina, I say kinayim v'shacharav, Amar lahashmaita. Sounds familiar. It comes up a number of times throughout the Gemara. Where Rav Sheshes says he was sleeping, he was dreaming when he was saying this halacha. Like honestly. So ahaya ilema. Now, what bothered Rav Sheshes or about Rav's statement? Because Reisha, you want to go back to the first Mishnah, Maflige Rabbi Yishmael v'Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so that first Mishnah is obviously not even in the discussion because that's a machlokas. So the first Mishnah is out. Ela de Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So the Gemara says it must be talking about the previous Mishnah, not the one we just learned, but the one we've been spending the last couple of days with. Of the cake of blood. So Mishnah's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki. All right, I mentioned this when we learned the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov does not speak that often, but when he does, he's got it down perfectly. And you know that when Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says something, it's Kavanaki, it's clean. So the Gemara says, Eladram Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, what about our Mishnah of Shimon Gamliel? So the Gemara says, Meflak Palag Bebraisa. We're going to learn tomorrow there's a brisa that argues with our Mishnah. So, Ad Rav Yossi ben Meshulam. So the Gemara says, what about the upcoming Mishnah tomorrow's daf? Ha'amar Rav Chada Zimna, da'amar Rav Hilchzik, Rav Yossi ben Meshulam. We have another statement of Rav saying that that's the halacha. Ela asear ba'mum. So the Gemara says, what about the hair of a b'chor who's a ba'mum? That's the last Mishnah we'll be learning in the third parak. Miflag Peligi Akavya ben Mahalav Rabbanan. That's a machlokas. So when all said and done, Rav made this very big statement that right now has seemingly no real application. Okay, so we'll stop over here, and okay, so tomorrow we'll try to understand what Rav was trying to teach us with this quote unquote big statement of his.